The Netball Show with Andy Lamb and Zara Buck.
Hi, it's Andy. Welcome to the Netball Show with Mizuno. Zara's here too. And this week we hear from Rebecca Byers from the Sunday Times as the Sportswomen of the Year nominations have been confirmed and you can finally vote. But who's in the Team of the Year category? We hear from Georgia Lees and how she's looking forward to being part of Mavericks next season. And there's news that the world's best netballer, Jeeva Mentor, is going to be taking part in a special talk and session at the University of Chichester. We're going to hear from Jane Lomax.
Hi, I'm Jeeva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Well, the Times Sportswoman of the Year shortlist has been confirmed and the votes are now open online, sportswomanoftheyear.co.uk. England netballer in there in the Team of the Year category. So I've been speaking to the Sunday Times, Rebecca Myers, to find out how to vote.
Yeah, voting is now open. We've got 4 weeks worth of time to vote. So yeah, the sort of the race begins for Team of the Year award and grassroots hero, someone in your community who's done an amazing thing. There's four women up for that and six teams up for Team of the Year. So it's all go.
We've seen that England netball are in the category for Team of the Year. And let's be honest, we'd be surprised if they weren't.
Yes, they are up for the award. I mean, they won the award last year, so they are no strangers to being on that shortlist. They are probably very comfortable there. But yeah, they've come up on that shortlist again, obviously a bronze medal at the World Cup this year. Fantastic effort from them. And, you know, I think carrying that success that they had last year from the Comm Games through into this year is no easy task, and they were fantastic in Liverpool this summer. So yeah, they've been recognised as a place on the shortlist. They're up against the football team for their efforts at their World Cup. We've also got the modern pentathlon squad who are European champions, some sailors, Hannah Mills and Amy McIntyre, who are world champions, the England rugby team, Six Nations champions, and the Europe Stockholm Cup golf team. So it's a pretty sort of star-studded field, actually. Lots of trophies and awards in that field. It's going to be a tough race.
It's a nice little category, to be fair, as well. It's easy to say, but there's yearly sports awards. But personally speaking, I think the Times and the BBC are, dare I say, the ones to win.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. But yeah, I mean, I think also, so we've been doing the Sunday Times Sportswoman of the Year Awards for 32 years now. So, you know, this is something that's got an incredible kind of legacy and history behind it. But we tend to find, you know, we have our awards at the end of November, which is when the winners will be announced. And obviously the BBC's Sports Personality of the Year Awards tend to happen in December. And we often find that the people we've awarded and we consider the outstanding performers will go on to do incredibly well at the BBC Awards. The netball team obviously won Sporting Moment of the Year last year after they'd won our Team of the Year Awards. So yeah, there's definite parallels there. And I think, you know, we flatter ourselves. And I think it's completely true that people would be massively honoured to be a Team of the Year from the Sunday Times Awards. I think we've recognised women's sport for so long in a way that other people haven't. We love having them here. Obviously, the players will come and whoever wins will receive their awards. That's great too.
Doha recently, didn't you? What was that like?
That in the Doha for 11 days for the World Athletics. It was a really interesting trip, a sort of fascinating place, and it was obviously a fascinating championship, like a real range of stories out of that. But above all, incredible to see Dina Asher-Smith and Katarina Johnson-Thompson win their medals. I mean, what a privilege to be ringside for that, basically. And both of them actually are up for our main award, Sportswoman of the Year, which is no surprise at all. You know, previous winners of that, Dina herself, Jess Ennis-Hill. So again, those will be decided by a judging panel. But both of them would be incredibly worthy winners of that among, you know, four other candidates for that award.
And equally as important, it was nice to see, now that the nominations are online, a really sweet video from Alex, who won last year's Grassroots.
Yeah, that was amazing. So Alex was our, like we said, Grassroots winner last year. Alex Paskey won from the Mintridge Foundation, and she did a wonderful video for us just talking about what it meant for her. You know, she was saying in the video quite a lot of things like imposter syndrome and women not necessarily believing that they deserve a place at the table in big meetings and stuff like that. But this award behind her was, you know, enabled her to say, this is my foundation and we're doing an amazing work and we've been recognised at this level. You know, she's been retweeting all our nominees for the Grassroots Award this year, which is so great. We have some absolutely incredible women up for it. You know, people who encourage girls to go surfing, people who encourage older women to play football. It's a real, like, incredible range of nominees this year. So I'd really encourage people to go on the website, sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk, and look at the videos for those nominees as well, and cast your vote there, because these women, it can change people's lives if they're doing voluntary grassroots work in their community.
You've started doing features on them as well. Will there be any paper over the next couple of weeks?
Yep, every week, well, every Sunday we'll feature one of the women who's up for the Grassroots Award. We'll also be featuring some of the teams and some of the other nominees, and just some generally quite amazing women. We've got categories for Young Sportswoman of the Year, under 21 years old, Disability Sportswoman of the Year, just amazing women who really, you know, may not necessarily get sort of space in newspapers at other times of the year, but we're able and very proud to give them front and centre place at this time of year.
Definitely worth a look, sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk.
Yeah, and vote for your favourite team. I've got no idea who your listeners might find their team to be.
Georgia Lees has been speaking to us about her decision to move to Mavericks last year. And following Mavericks' recent games at Fast Five, she's really looking forward to the season ahead.
I think the move to Mavericks for me probably was a really good choice for me. Just to mix up, sort of playing in a new team, new coaches, new training environment, new players. And it just gives me that opportunity to add something new to my game. I mean, training against the likes of, you know, Sasha Corbin, Dean Corbin, training with those guys in that attack end, you know, it really does help me sort of add different stuff to my game. And I just feel like I was always learning from the players that I'm playing with and the coaches that I have there as well. So, yeah, gutted that we didn't make top four.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to go again next year.
You put something like, it's your most craziest year yet with study and placement, training and competing as well. So how difficult has that been to juggle, realistically?
If I'm being really honest, it has been really hard. My family all thought I was nuts when I said that I was going to go back to university to study medicine and play Super League netball and try and train them as much as I can, placement full time. So yeah, I have sort of just reflected back on this year and sort of thought, where did I find the time to do it all? But, you know, I have a fantastic support network around me. My family are amazing. My boyfriend, he's great. You know, they're at every game. They're here whenever I need them. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't be able to do it without their support. The support that I've had from Mavericks this year has been fantastic too, and the University of Hertfordshire. Yeah, I think I have been able to just sort of manage it all just based on the support that I've had.
That's vital no matter what level of the game you're at, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my family have supported me since I was about the age of 15. That support's always there, and, you know, no matter how old you get, you know, I'm sort of 10 years on from that now, and I still need my mum and dad there. So, yeah, definitely wouldn't be able to do it without all of them.
Kat started to look at each game by game, and does she take you all individually and say, what did you do that for?
So yeah, we get feedback after every game, but yeah, you know, bless Kat, she's up still sort of early hours. I think I get emails from her at like 3:30 in the morning saying, here's some feedback, here's some video clips to watch. You know, she really puts in so much hard work, and us as players, you know, that's what we need, and we really appreciate it.
You've maybe had a little bit more time on court because of that injury to Gabs. Obviously, it's unfortunate for her, but what did you make of your extra little bit of that court time?
You know, obviously gutted to see a player like Gabs not be able to play as much as she wanted to this year. And, you know, I'd love to have been on court playing alongside her. But, yeah, you know, it did mean that I got sort of a little bit more court time because we were obviously missing one of our centre court players. So, you know, I'm really grateful for those opportunities. But, yeah, I really hope next year that actually we can get Gabby back on court and sort of be playing alongside her as well, because for those few weeks that she was back, it was fantastic.
People around the country don't see Mavericks as often as you should, maybe due to the fact that they're only watching the games on Sky. So a word on the teammates and the fact that how have things bonded?
Yeah, and we've been a relatively new team this year. I mean, actually, we've had sort of a lot of new combinations this year. So, obviously, myself joining new to the team, Joe Tripp as well. George Fisher's come back. You know, other than this year, I haven't played alongside George Fisher. And I was quite lucky that I got the opportunity to play at Super League with her and also at Bucks with the university team. So, Kadeen's obviously come back into the squad. So, in terms of the combinations that we're playing and that we're looking at, we was a relatively new squad this year, and I think that's a really, really exciting thing going forward. I think we have so much more to give. I mean, the calibre of players that we had in our team was absolutely fantastic, so I think that's why we were so disappointed to not finish top four.
Yeah.
But then you've got to look at the standards of play in the league this year. I mean, it was crazy. You had sort of teams in bottom place beating teams in second place. You had sort of everyone beating each other. So, you know, for the league itself, that's fantastic. And obviously, we was at sort of the back end of that and bared the brunt, sort of finishing fifth and didn't quite make it just into top four. But hopefully, like, you know, I think there's some really big stuff to come from us.
And you're being quiet about it, but you won most improved player as part of that.
Yeah, that was a great award to receive. Yeah, like I said earlier, I feel like I have sort of added some new stuff to my game this year. I have sort of changed things up, and I feel like I've had to, given sort of the team that I'm playing in, and I've really enjoyed that. You know, I've had coaches that have challenged me all year, you know, have said, you know, you're very good at this stuff, but how about we try and improve on this? So actually, it was a lot of hard work behind the scenes, as every player puts in, so to be recognised for that was really, really nice.
So 2020 then, it's probably a bit early to say, but more of the same?
Yeah, I hope so. We do have a really great squad there that, you know, over time I think we really can build and sort of gel even more as a squad. So yeah, 2020, I'm really looking forward to it and actually to see what this team can do.
Time now for another clue to next week's huge guest. And what do we know already? She's a member of the current Australian Diamonds. She won the first ever Laura Geitz Award that was presented to her by the star herself. She took to court as part of the Netball World Cup in Liverpool, and she sounds a bit like this.
Seabass is amazing. She's the most caring, thoughtful, incredible leader that leads by example out there on court, but also makes sure we're all going okay off court.
Our huge guest is part of next week's show, so why not subscribe now and get the episode first? And while you're online, you can also catch up on our chat with Lindsay Keeble, who's part of the new London Pulse side, and Emily Fraser from Matchroom Multisport on how successful this year's Fast Five All-Stars event went.
We know that 1.4 million women and girls across the country are playing netball, but the clear majority are still playing in running shoes or generic trainers, which don't provide the necessary support required to play the fast-moving and dynamic sport that netball is today.
So as a sports injury specialist, one of my biggest bugbears is seeing netball players playing netball in running shoes. The reason this is annoying for me is because running shoes are designed for running in a linear motion. They're not designed for stop-start, change direction, and looking after the stability of a player as they're coming down from the air. So the benefit of a netball shoe over a running shoe is they're designed to give you more stability and allow you to change direction with better grip, and also allow you to give a more stable knee and ankle position when coming down from a height, therefore reducing the risk of injury in those two areas.
I'm Zara Buck, and this is the Netball Show with Mizuno. Some more big news. On Thursday, the 7th of November, the world's greatest netballer will be making a special appearance at the University of Chichester. Yep, that's right, Jeeva Mentor will be in attendance doing a session and also a talk about her incredible career. Andy spoke to Jane Lomax to find out more about this event and how special it will be.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We're absolutely stoked to have her here. And the community, the response, when I mention it's there, is brilliant. The local league has gone, when I said, could I have a court space for this workshop? And they went, you can have a court, we're cancelling our other matches so that we can watch her.
Jeeva's in town, naturally.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to have someone who is literally coming down from the palace 2 days before is just, Chichester is very lucky to have her for a few hours, and we're going to enjoy every minute of it.
What is the main reason behind her in attendance?
In attendance, Jeeva is an ambassador for the Stephen Bernard Foundation, which is a charity set up in memory of one of our students by Stevie's dad. And she's coming here as her first appearance as an ambassador for that charity. The charity supports young people in sport predominantly and just gives them that lift and that little bit of extra funding that they need to make that next stage, that next door open for them. So we are supporting that charity.
Am I right in thinking this is the first netball associated event taking place?
Yes, it is. Jeeva is now on their website as their ambassador. But of course, because she lives in Australia, it's difficult to catch her. And we've managed to achieve that. We've got Jeeva coming down to do a netball session, as well as the fact that it's Jeeva.
Tell me a little bit about the event that's going to be taking place then.
Right, well, we've got a session. Jeeva's going to come down in the afternoon on the 7th of November. She's going to run a workshop with our students to start with. Jeeva is very keen to try and inspire people to be engaged in their sport and just help them along their way. And so she's going to work with the students first. Then she's going to do an open house talk where we can ask her questions. She can tell us her story. We can have a little look at a book, and that's open to students and the community. And then she's going to do a workshop with community base. So we're making that link between students and the community quite powerfully, we hope.
A workshop with Jeeva Mentor is one of those things that, as a netballer, you're just going to be like, how do I find out more? How do I find out more?
Well, I had so many lovely messages of, oh my goodness, can we please come? I can't make that day. I'm devastated. I'd really love to be there. So there's a lot of people who are able to make it and are able to move their diary around to make sure they can. And then there are some who are clearly, oh no, how can I be missing that? So the response has been lovely. Absolutely lovely. And that's lovely for Jeeva as well.
When you get somebody like that in town, there's obviously going to be huge demand. What about the pricing aspect of it?
Well, that's really difficult to get right. I wanted it at a price that people could afford to come, and that therefore she could touch base with more people. So we've kept cost at a minimum in order to allow access to as many people as possible. But because it's a charity event, we do hope that people coming will realise that and be as generous as possible. So we will be collecting on the day as well.
Am I right in thinking there'll be prizes on the day as well?
Well, Jeeva has donated a signed book and a signed ball that there will be to the winning ticket. And people who buy tickets to the talk will have a numbered ticket, and we will draw that out of the hat and they will win a prize, yes. And that's Jeeva's donated that.
This actual workshop itself, is that the part that's sold out and there's still plenty available tickets for the talk?
Yes, there are. Because we've only just started sending it out, we're going to send it out to a few more people and the press is going to be involved. And hopefully, yeah, there are still tickets for the talk. And then if you're in the talk, then you should be able to come and watch the workshop as well. So if coaches or people who aren't players who would like to come and see some court super lead standard as well as England running a workshop to get ideas, that would be fantastic for them.
This is so important, and it's really great news that you've managed to sort something like this out. Easy question, how do you get tickets?
You go on Eventbrite and go on the university website.
And that's the University of Chichester.
The link is there. Yes, so it's up on our website now with the link. And I will be sending out links. I've sent out links, the link and the information to South Netball, to Sussex, Hampshire, Surrey Storm. I've sent them the information, so the links should be available from a number of sources, hopefully.
And appearing on us as well. Good choice.
Oh, of course, of course.
And the important thing is, how soon is it taking place? What date is it taking place?
Thursday, November the 7th.
And you'll be hoping for as many people there and
I'd
really
love to
support
fill
the event?
We've got a lecture theatre, and I'd love it if that was full. That would be brilliant, because that would be so lovely for Jeeva. It would be lovely for the people who don't normally get to sit and listen to Jeeva, because she lives in Australia, to have that access to her. You don't often get an icon that does sort of 5 world championships and 5 Commonwealth Games sitting in the same room as you, do you? Doesn't happen often. This is sort of real premium to have the opportunity to find out somebody's story of how they got there, and to realise that when I spoke to Jeeva, she's just such a lovely, very humble person, and you're just bowled over by that when you meet her. So that would be really inspirational for youngsters to come and see.
Really important for her as well, being a Bournemouth person. Yes. And
I was very pleased that Tony Bernard, who set up the Stephen Bernard Foundation, wanted the first netball stint to be linked to Chichester, where Stevie was a student. So that was special. So to have her do that is, and to be able to fit that into her busy schedule is quite a coup, really. Do you know what? I just hope that people come and are able to come and enjoy the event.
The Netball Show with Andy Lamb and Zara Buck.